Blog Talk Radio.
Halo Mas Jah.
Lunch. Volunteer your lunch break at americaletsdolunch.org.
This message brought to you by Meals on Wheels America and the Ad Council.
Thank you.
This is Snowman in the Morning, where true sports talk lives.
Next!
Excuse me, bitch!
Are you kidding me?
What?
Now, the tribute to Chet Kopech is done. Now I can do what I planned to do about 8 minutes ago. And that is to say good morning. Welcome to the Friday edition of Snowman in the Morning. As we get cranked up here, and we want to tell y'all that we are on Blog Talk Radio this morning via the Warrior Wide Web. Legendary sports talk host, the Warrior, granted the Snowman a couple of hours each day. I haven't had a chance to take advantage of it the past couple of weeks because I've been ill with the flu. But if you want to call in, the number is 213-325, and I got to open my studio here. The number is 213-943-3384. For those of you early birds out west waking up earlier with the Snowman this morning, thank you very much. For all the early birds that are waking up with me, thank you very much. And there will possibly be not one, two networks that will be syndicating and streaming Snowman in the Morning. A couple of pieces of weaponry that I'm going to pick up to help not only promote the show. Had planned to be on YouTube this morning, but unfortunately couldn't get it together. We're gonna try it another way. But we're gonna get it together. Definitely going to get it together. As it stands right now, I'm on my personal Facebook page streaming the show. We're getting it together, folks. Just hang tight with us. Short show today, talking a couple of things that we have been meaning to talk about. I didn't get a chance to come on yesterday. I apologize for that. I just wouldn't respond. But in cases like that, I want to make this announcement. There will be we're working on having a couple of guest hosts come in my stead just in case I run into some schedule problems, which I've done over the past 5.5 years and all that good stuff. Waiting on my producer, the big dog, Shane Lake, to join as well. Now, let's get into what I've been wanting to get into since last night happened. There was some chatter that Kevin Durant got punked at home in the first two games by Patrick Beverley of the Los Angeles Clippers. There was some yapping going on that the Clippers actually, can't believe I'm going to say this, had a shot to take down the Warriors in the first round. Well, if last night proved anything, Kevin Durant and the rest of Dub Nation effectively said two words: shut up. I've said it for the longest time, and I am going to continue to say it as long as people understand where I'm coming from with this and why I'm going to say it the way it needs to be said, and it goes like this. Until you take down the defending world champions four times in a playoff series, shut it up. Period. Just shut up. Because if last night proved anything, last night proved anything at all about the Golden State Warriors, it proved this. All the Clippers did was piss them off. 132-105. The Warriors scored 1 point more than their quote-unquote historic loss on Monday at Oracle Arena. My buddy Mark Heffernan provided a very good point and a truthful point when he put it in the form of a question and said, so it takes a team coming back on them to piss them off? I'll answer that question now. Yes, it does. If last night showed you anything, Kevin Durant was mad. Stephen Curry was mad. And Kevin Durant reminded the Clippers of who he is. A two-time champion, a two-time finals MVP that has a knack of going teetotally, completely the hell off at any time. So in three quarters, Kevin Durant dropped 38 points. And the final last night, 132-105, and I'm surprised. Yeah, I'm going to talk a little mess, and it goes like this. I'm surprised, mind you, that the Clippers got 105 points. I'm surprised that they got 105 points yesterday. I'm surprised at that. Why, you ask? Because the Warriors shut them up. Very, very deeply. The Golden State Warriors last night sent a painful reminder to the lowly Los Angeles Clippers. You don't come into our house and beat us and wipe out a 31-point deficit without having some repercussions against you. And the same thing is going to happen this weekend. The Warriors corrected the mistakes from Monday night. When you have a team down 30, and they were down 33 at the end of three periods, you don't let your foot off the pedal. I clearly said that on Tuesday. You know, my friend Ashley made a post, which was very true. Calm down, y'all. All that Monday night's game did to do was serve as a reminder of who's in charge. Give me your thoughts. 213-943-3384. Durant scored 38. Stephen Curry scored 21, playing with 5 fouls. And the Warriors led coast to coast. They led coast to coast. Start to finish. So people actually thought that the Clippers had a chance in hell? You're nuts, right? You had a little bit of a temporary lapse and needed a reminder of who the champs are, right? They began the game last night on a tear of 22. Let me say that again. 22-9. The crowd was so hyped coming into the game. The crowd at the Staples Center was on its feet, ready to yell for 48 minutes. And the Warriors told about 19,000 fans, shut up. 73% from the floor in the first quarter will do that. Durant made all 5 of his shots and both of his free throws. He was perfect in the first quarter and dropped a dozen. He and Steph Curry, if there was any flaw in the game last night, picked up 2 early fouls. And Steve Kerr had a decision to make. Do I take Kevin Durant out with those 2 fouls? Or do I leave him in and risk it and see what happens? Steve Kerr made the right call in leaving Kevin Durant in. And he went to work, hitting all kinds of shots. Stephen Curry. Stephen Curry was not one to not get on the fun either. Stephen Curry said, quote, as much momentum as we lost in the final 16 minutes of game 2, we got it all back early. Everybody was aggressive, decisive, getting good shots on every possession. The way we went about our business was the sign of a resilient team, close quote, and amen. Game 4 is set for Sunday at the Staples Center, and it's going to be even more of a mausoleum than it was on Thursday night. Kevon Looney shot 4-for-4 in the first quarter with 3 dunks. Durant had 27 at the half, despite not making a 3-point shot in the first half. Steve Kerr said he wanted Durant shooting much more than the 8 times he did in game 2. Durant replied, "I don't play like that. I'm Kevin Durant. You know who I am. And now so do the Clippers." Largest comeback in NBA playoff history is in the rearview mirror. Only 37% from the floor, the Clippers shot. Doc Rivers, who's won a championship in Boston, 2008, said, quote, they dissected us. You kind of felt they were going to come in and throw a punch, and we just didn't respond, close quote. Only starter in double figures for the Clippers was Ivica Zubac, former Laker, by the way, who finished with 18 points and 15 rebounds after playing most of the fourth quarter. Patrick Beverley, who was a defensive pest in guarding Durant in game 2, was limited to, ready for this, 6 points, fouls, 1 rebound, and no assists in 18 minutes. Lou Williams had 16, Montrezl Harrell and Jermichael Green each added 15 off the bench. Lou Williams said, quote, "We just got our ass kicked. That's it," close quote. Now, y'all know, if you've been paying attention to this run by the Golden State Warriors over the years, their key quarter is what? Say it with me, the third quarter. That's when Golden State made its biggest run. Curry was whistled for his fourth foul. Curry was whistled for his fourth foul, and the Clippers had climbed within 17 at 74-57, and this is the run that essentially put the game out of reach. 14-0 to expand the lead from 19 to 33. From 17 to 31, I beg your pardon. Can't do math this morning. I'm sorry. It went from 17 to 31. Jermichael Green and Durant each got hit with offsetting technicals, with that, which I think was a bunch of bullshit because I saw the play and I saw the technicals they were whistled for. Jermichael Green and Kevin Durant were just conversing about something completely different. You know, Durant said, quote, "We were conversing about the play that happened before. Somebody came out of nowhere and checked us both." That was pretty quick. Hopefully they rescind that one because I don't want anybody to think that somebody's in my head. That's why I got that tech, close quote. Stephen Curry is 5 3-point makes away from becoming the first player ever. Now listen to me carefully. Reverend T joining our Facebook Live feed. Thank you. The first player ever, Stephen Curry. This is the most unbelievable number that I am going to throw out there. Y'all know I'm an NBA historian, and I'm getting back into being an NBA historian. Never thought I would say this. But Stephen Curry is 5 3-pointers away from becoming the first player ever to hit 400 season threes. He's going to do that on Sunday. I'd rather for him do it at home. But the next time they're at home, they're going to be up 3-1, ready to close out a series. They should have closed out in the sweep. And they know it. They know it. They absolutely know. This should have been a 4-game sweep. But if last night served as any reminder, if last night served as any reminder, the reminder is this. These are the Golden State Warriors. They're the two-time defending NBA champions. And you can throw your best punch at them, but think they're not going to respond, because they responded big time. They responded in a way you don't think. They respond in a way that champions respond. The Warriors set an NBA record by winning at least one road game in each of their last, ready for this number, 20 playoff series. The records continue to fall, but the Golden State Warriors want to be running to the confetti when June gets here. This is nothing but a bump in the road, and if the Warriors are smart, they don't rest on this win. They don't rest on this win. They know what they can do. They know doggone well what they can do. And there's no reason to think that by the time next week gets here, they won't be in a position to close out the clip joint. I will give the Clippers this credit. Under the leadership of Doc Rivers, they now have the right players in place to make some noise come the offseason. But don't think you're going to go up against the Warriors after beating them on their home floor and they not respond. They don't play like that. The Clips are a resilient bunch. I'll give you that. I'll give you that. Ain't every day that you can wipe out a 31-point deficit at the home of the two-time defending champions. But to think that the Warriors wouldn't respond, I came out and socked them in the mouth. Hard. I said on Monday that loss in game two was going to be nothing but motivation for the Warriors. Say what you want, say what you feel. I said Monday at Game two is going to be nothing but motivation for the Golden State Warriors. 213-943-3384. Let me know your thoughts. Let's talk some sports this morning on this abbreviated Potluck Friday edition of Snowman in the Morning. We're going to be on the Warrior Wide Web from here on out. If you feel that you love the program and the podcast that we're putting up on YouTube and Anchor and all of our other platforms, then do us a favor and become a monthly patron. You can go to Patreon, patreon.com/SIT Morning. That's our ID. Talking basketball, talking NBA playoff basketball. And speaking of the NBA playoffs, as I come off the Warriors here, let's just let the Warriors take care of business on Sunday, and then I'll have a lot more to say. Because I got to be honest with you, when I got home from work last night, that game was in the back of my head. You know, 95% of me knew that this would be the end result of the Warriors and the Clippers last night. 95% of me knew that would be the end result. But there was 5% of me that was actually, I don't know, sitting on my hands waiting for the game to start. And I just about fell asleep when I got the end of, when I got the first quarter score, 41-24. I got that score, and I went to bed because I knew it was done. Done. Absolutely freaking done. All I needed to see was the first period score, and that's probably all I'm going to need to see on Sunday in Los Angeles, because I partially have to work Easter Sunday. I'm going to my wife's parents' house for Easter dinner. I'm going to work that out. But all I need to see was the first quarter. And if you're the Dubs, you don't take your foot off their throat. That's the lesson that needed to be learned. That's the lesson that needed to be repeated. Now, as we go further here in our discussion of the NBA playoffs, I warned you guys about the San Antonio Spurs. They're up 2-1 on the Denver Nuggets. If they win game four, I beg your pardon. If the Spurs win game four, this series will end in 6 games. Derek White is the reason the Spurs are up 2-1, and the only thing that's costing the Nuggets is inexperience. Derek White is the reason the Spurs have a 2-1 lead as he dropped in a career-high 36 points. Screaming, flexing, stomping around the court after almost every made basket in this playoff game. Out of character for him? Yeah. But he's never been in this situation before. 118-108 was the final score. Derek White said, quote, "I just had a chip on my shoulder. This is the way I played since I was young. Just try to go out there, compete, and have fun." Close quote. The Joker, Nikola Jokic, 22 points, 8 rebounds, and 7 assists. Game 4 is Saturday in Texas, where the Spurs are 3-0 against the Nuggets this season. 3-0. It just might be 4-0 after Saturday. And the same thing the Dubs did to the Clippers is what the Spurs did to the Nuggets. Complete attack mode. White attack point guard Jamal Murray from the tip. Turnabout is fair play. Jamal Murray was on the receiving end, was on the giving end, I should say, of what he gave to Derek White. And so Derek White said, okay, I'm going to get even. And he got even. Big time. Michael Malone, the coach of the Nuggets, said, quote, "There is no doubt in my mind that Derek White, the last couple of days, has been reminded about Jamal Murray's fourth quarter performance. Derek White came out like he hadn't eaten in 2 days. He came out hungry, came out pissed off, and sent a very loud and clear message. I'm anxious to see our guys. How do we respond to that?" Close quote. Experience is going to usher the Nuggets out of the playoffs. It'll usher them back in next year. But Derek White, just as Kevin Durant did last night for the Dubs, had a very loud response. And the best kind of response you can give is a loud, emphatic one. A very loud, emphatic response. Now, do you know who needs to make a loud, emphatic response tonight? Y'all know where I'm going. You know who needs to make a loud, emphatic response tonight? Two teams need to. In the East, in the Indiana Pacers, and this is a team that was my wild card in winning the East. Doesn't look like it so far. The second team that needs to make a loud, emphatic response, and when I say loud, I mean like everything rides on this game, and it does, Russell Westbrook. James Harden is pulling his team through the second round, it looks like. But Russell Westbrook needs to be something he hasn't been, a leader in the playoffs. Now, I'm going to say some things about Mr. Westbrook that a lot of people don't like, but it needs to be said. I'll put it in the form of a question. My buddy Steve McClure, checking out the Facebook Live feed. Thank you. And to all the fans tuned in via snowmaninthemorning.com and arenasportsnet.com, thank you. Let me put this in the form of a question. Do you get this? Have you gotten the sense in the past 4 years that Russell Westbrook is only a regular season player? I do. It has been proven so many times over, especially since 2015 when Kevin Durant was out injured and it became Russell Westbrook's team. They looked depressed as all get out, Oklahoma City did after game two. And this is a team, I beg your pardon, and this is a team, Paul George. Want to know the problem? Westbrook has not allowed Paul George to carry them. Has not allowed Paul George to be his teammate in the playoffs. It's proven last year against Utah. It's being proven right now against the Portland Trail Blazers. Russell Westbrook, I don't think he has one in him. Going back to Oklahoma, I don't think he has one in him. Could I be proven wrong tonight? Absolutely. And I will say as such after the weekend. Hell, I may slip a Facebook Live video in it. You don't know. You don't know. But Russell Westbrook and Oklahoma City need a loud response tonight from that raucous crowd in Oklahoma City. Because if the Portland Trail Blazers, yes, the Portland Trail Blazers, who were unceremoniously swept last year out of the playoffs, come in and steal one in Oklahoma City, OKC's done next week, because there's no way, given the first two games, there's no way OKC's winning one in the Pacific Northwest. Not a chance. Now let's put one of the ultimate situations out there. What if Portland steals game three tonight? And this is a mighty big if, because it's tough to beat OKC on their home floor early in the playoffs. And notice I said early in the playoffs. What if the Portland Trail Blazers? Oh, my God, I can't believe I'm going to actually pose this question, but I'm going to go ahead and pose the question. I can see my producer shaking his head, trying not to laugh, going, no, don't say it. But what if the Portland Trail Blazers sweep the series and sweep the Thunder out of the playoffs? Oh, my God. Another first-round exit for Russell Westbrook and the Thunder, no matter how many games it takes. I believe it would signal the end of an era. And it would also signal, it would also indicate to me that the Oklahoma City Thunder are just built for the regular season. Let me say that again. The Oklahoma City Thunder, as it stands right now, are only built for the regular season. I have not seen in the past 3 years, I have not seen since their epic collapse in the Western Conference Finals 3 years ago, when they led the champs in Golden State 3-1. There was a quote that said, it's not Westbrook's fault. We don't have a bench. Westbrook is a leader. I call bullshit on that statement. OKC didn't take care of their bench. OKC didn't strengthen their bench. And Westbrook is not a leader. This series and the past 3 years have proven it. Because if Westbrook was a leader, they would have found a way to close out Golden State in the Western Conference Finals 3 years ago. Period. 3 straight years of averaging triple-doubles during the regular season is just that, regular. I'm sorry. But it's a great achievement. No, it's not. No, it's not. You want a great achievement? Now is the time for OKC to make a statement that we're not going to let the Trailblazers come into our house and beat us, and we're going to tie this series at the end of the weekend, which I don't expect to happen. Which I don't think happens. Which ain't going to happen. Chris Ford, you clearly didn't watch any of this game. Oh, no? I know what I saw. I saw this. Westbrook gained a leader. Listen to me carefully. If Westbrook was such a leader, and I will say it again until I am proven differently. Now, I make this disclaimer. I can be proven wrong, and I have been proven wrong, and I don't mind proven wrong. I will say it again. He doesn't have a give up bone in his body. He sure did in game two, Chris Ford. Sorry. I know what I saw, and I saw CJ McCollum and Damian Lillard tear him and the Oklahoma City Thunder to shreds. You need to watch more basketball. I know what the hell I saw. This is why I say, and I will say again, Russell Westbrook and the Oklahoma City Thunder need a statement game night. Period. You know who else needs a statement game tonight? Blake Griffin and the Detroit Pistons, because they got absolutely mauled in Milwaukee the first two games. Now, remember Milwaukee last year struggling against Boston as the number 8 seed. Now they got the best record in the NBA. Every superstar, Chris Ford says, every superstar isn't going to be a great leader. Yeah, thank you. Russell Westbrook's proving that. Now that I got that off my chest, there's another team that needs to make a statement game tonight is the Detroit Pistons. Blake Griffin and the Detroit Pistons need to attack the Milwaukee Bucks in their house. And if they don't do it, they will suffer the same fate. And Blake Griffin will suffer the same fate that Russell Westbrook's suffering right now. And that's being a regular season team, and that's it. Sure, they got Dwayne Casey, the coach of the year last year, but Dwayne Casey had a lot more parts to work with. Dwayne Casey had a lot more parts to work with in Toronto. It led to his firing when the undermanned Cavaliers swept him, which tells you a lot about Toronto, by the way. Which tells you a lot about Toronto, and that series is one apiece going down to Florida. And I think the Magic have a surprise for them, but I'll get to that in a moment. Josh Lopez, my brother, thanks for watching. But listen carefully. Blake Griffin and the Detroit Pistons and Andre Drummond and the Detroit Pistons need a statement game tonight. They can't allow the best team in the NBA in the Milwaukee Bucks to run over them in Little Caesars Arena, I was about to say the Palace, the same way they ran over the Pistons in the Fiserv Forum in Milwaukee. That just can't happen. It cannot happen. The Indiana Pacers need a statement game tonight because Pacers should be up 2-0 in this series right now. I said it. It should be at the very least 1-1. Indiana had chances to steal both games in TD Garden. They should have stolen both games in the Garden. Now the Pacers find themselves down 2-0, and I know where is Steve McClure's comment. I'm looking for it right now. He says, gold don't quit. I believe that. I believe that. Speaking of the Celtics and Pacers series, let me take y'all back to 1991. And Shane Lake, I'm going there. The Pacers stole a game in the Boston Garden, which led to a very pivotal game three. And Steve McClure, I'm going to need your help. And Shane, I'm going to need your help too. I believe Boston won that game. I want to get the final score right. I believe it was 114-105. They won game three. Pacers won game four, which led to the epic fifth game showdown in Boston. This is one of the reasons why I just wish it was the first round was still five games, but I digress. Hey, folks, let me know your thoughts on this subject. Which team needs a statement game tonight? Call in, voice your thoughts at 213-943-3384. To those of you watching on the Facebook Live feed, there's your call-in number, 213-943-3384. You can drop some comments through our email at snowmaninthemorning@gmail.com. The Pacers should have stolen both of them in Boston. It should be 2-0 Indiana coming back to Indiana. Y'all remember that epic series those two put, the Pacers and the Celtics put together in 1991? Split on each other's home floor through the first four games. Indiana stole game two. Boston stole game three. Game two wound up 130-118 Indiana in the Boston Garden. Celtics won game two of this series 99-91. And while I'm making comparisons here, you want to know another supposed superstar finding out the hard way that you can't win it by yourself? That's being a little selfish, although he's helping his team right now. Kyrie Irving. Take that. And I knew I got that score right. Game three was 112-105 Celtics, and that was at, I missed this place, Market Square Arena in Indianapolis. To get back in the series, now the Pacers need both at Bankers Life Fieldhouse, which is going to be louder than hell tonight. And through the course of Easter weekend. The Pacers should be coming home right now looking for a sweep, and they're not. Instead, they're looking to survive because they let both games get away in Boston. Both of them. Going back to that 91 series, the Pacers won game four, 116-113. And then, of course, the Celtics won the epic game five, 124-121. Chuck Person tried to win the game with a few seconds left, led to some free throws. The Pacers still had a chance to tie, but as the horn sounded, the shot was off and the Celtics won. So the teams that need to make a statement, you know who else needs to make a statement after getting a foot put in their ass last night? The Brooklyn Nets. Because they've awakened Ben Simmons, and somehow Ben Simmons is making shots. Game four is coming up this weekend in Brooklyn. And the Brooklyn Nets need to respond. Mr. Kevin Harmon, what's going on, my friend? The Brooklyn Nets need to respond this weekend. Game three was, oh, you know something? Let me go back to game two. Even though it wound up a blowout, the Nets were in that game for a while. And now the Sixers do not have Joel Embiid. They didn't have him last night, and they won 131-115. Who's to say that Joel Embiid won't play in game four? Raptors and the Magic tied at one apiece, heading into Orlando tonight. And I'll throw the Magic on the table of needing a statement game. They got their first one on the road in Canada, a three that won the game. And now the Magic need not one but two statement games. Will it happen? Don't know. Don't know. But let me know your thoughts. Tweet the show at SIT Morning. My producer, Shane Late, will look at the Facebook page and look at our Facebook feed as well. But I tell you what, and I'm going back to Russell Westbrook in Oklahoma City, and Chris Ford, you're not going to like my next set of statements, but they all ring true. If OKC doesn't win tonight, the series is over Easter Sunday in Oklahoma. And I believe that will be the end of the Oklahoma City Thunder, coached by Billy Donovan, as we know it. It's the song, it's the end of the world as we know it. Well, if Oklahoma City doesn't win tonight, that's the song they're going to be singing come Easter Sunday. Period. This team needed to break up because you don't have a bona fide leader on that club. Not one in the playoffs. You don't have, and you haven't had, Oklahoma City. Oh, I'm going to piss some people off by saying this. Oklahoma City has not had a bona fide leader on that team built for the playoffs since 2016 when that epic collapse happened. And don't throw Golden State in my face and their collapse in the NBA Finals. A, y'all know how I feel about that series. And B, unlike Oklahoma City, they bounce back. Deal with that. Snow Man in the Morning, back in a flash. Thank you.
Snowman in the Morning, where true sports talk lives.
Hello, baby.
The second half of the Friday edition of Snowman in the Morning rolls on. And a couple of announcements coming. I'll get those to you at the end of the program. But right now, I want to spend a few minutes on a couple people who are considered the greatest in their sport. These two gentlemen are Michael Jordan and Tiger Woods. Now, for those of you late in the game, you're wondering, what the hell are you doing putting these two in the same picture? It goes like this. I ran across a story that put those two in the same picture. You know what happened last Sunday? Tiger Woods trailed at the end of three rounds, came all the way back in the last seven holes, and won his fifth green jacket at the Masters. So when six-time NBA champion and legend Michael Jordan caught the final round of the Masters on Sunday, watching with the rest of us, Michael said, quote, "I took 2 years off to play baseball, but nothing like that. It's the greatest comeback I've ever seen." I'm pretty sure he questioned himself, Michael goes on. I'm pretty sure he questioned himself whether he could get it back, and he had hoped to put a lot of work in, but he took it head on. He had to change his game. He had to change his perspective a little bit. To me, it was the greatest comeback that I've ever seen. Close quote. This is in an interview that Michael had with The Athletic. He continues, "I never thought he'd get back physically. He didn't think he'd get back physically, but he did it. No one expected him to be back the way he is now. He's probably the only person who believed he could get back. To me, that's a major accomplishment. To me, it's unbelievable. Mentally, you always think you can, but you can't answer to what your body has to deal with." Close. And of his peers, of Tiger Woods' peers on tour, Jordan said this, "They got problems. His confidence is only going to build from here. The unknown is the biggest thing. He's won a tour event, on the Masters, he's won a major," close quote. All that was told to The Athletic. And in response, I say, wow. This is coming from the legend who won three titles, took 2 years off to play baseball, came back and won three more with his iconic final shot in Utah. Tiger Woods himself said, "Me and golf are divorced. Didn't think his body would be able to respond to four back surgeries, torn ACL, where he limped on the course and wound up winning the damn tournament that he injured himself in." So when Michael Jordan heaps this much praise on you, it should serve as a challenge for Tiger Woods to do more. And want more, and win more. These two legends share a lot in common. Success on their field of chosen play, a lot of problems off of it, but then bounce back to get more. That's the thing that impresses me the most. Bouncing back to get more. When Michael Jordan, who knows a few things about comebacks, calls it the greatest comeback he's ever seen, that's nothing but love. That's nothing but Nike love. That's nothing but pure unadulterated respect. Tw- 2008, Tiger Woods had a torn ACL and won the damn thing. It was the epic U.S. Open against, I want to say, Rocco Mediate. They played 18 holes of overtime. Couldn't decide it. Then it went to sudden death. Woods missed one putt. Mediate missed two. Again, when Michael Jordan, one of the legend of legends, who's done stuff of legend in 15 years in the NBA, and we know how that legend goes, don't we, Big Dog? Shane Lake, my producer. When he's able to drop this kind of perspective on what Tiger Woods did last Sunday and basically predict that he's back on top of the mountain, that and basically say that he's back on top of the mountain, wanting more, wanting to win more. Uh-oh. The rest of the field is going to have, and I agree with Michael, the rest of the field is going to have some issues. Lots of them. Someone asked me last Sunday what I think Tiger Woods can do for the rest of this season when it comes to the majors. I made a ridiculous response, which right now, to me, don't seem so ridiculous. My response was this. I think Tiger Woods can complete the slam. I believe he's the only golfer to do it within a calendar year to complete the slam. That means the Masters, that means the Tour Championship, that means the U.S. Open, and that means the British Open. That means the Players' Championship. Is it too weird of me, or is it too out there of me to think that Tiger Woods, yes, that Tiger Woods, who y'all saw, a 43-year-old father of two, who won last Sunday at the Masters when no one expected him to, is it weird of me to think he cannot complete the slam? I may be way off. I may be way off. And I will admit as such, but when you see a comeback for the ages, Jim Nantz had the perfect description. Beg your pardon. Jim Nantz had the perfect description. Woods dropped his winning putt on 18, the return to glory. And what better place to make that statement than at the Masters, where he claims his fifth green jacket. 15 major wins now in Tiger Woods' career. Yeah, we know about the gaps in between majors and the gaps in between green jackets. All that has been well documented. He got his fifth green jacket and his 15th major. We can officially open discussions again of not if, but when he'll tie and surpass Jack Nicklaus on both of those. I'll pose this question again, and I want y'all to call in with your thoughts. 213-943-3384. Is it weird? Is it off? Is it completely preposterous to think that Tiger can complete the slam in this year? It very well may be. In a lot of case, in a lot of people's minds, it very well may be preposterous to think that Tiger can complete the slam. But what the hell? But what the hell? PGA tourney, U.S. Open, and the British. PGA tourney will be at the Bethpage course U.S. Open is at Pebble Beach, and he's won at those two courses. The British Open will take place at the Royal Portrush Golf Club. He's won at Bethpage, and he's won at Pebble Beach before. You know how he won the Masters? He didn't do it with strength. He did it with knowledge. Knowledge of the course of Augusta National. He has knowledge of the next two courses in majors, Bethpage and Pebble Beach. He's won at those two before. And I will say it again, and I will ask it again. Is it crazy to think, and I know this is putting a lot of pressure on Tiger, this is putting a lot of pressure on his game, this is putting a lot of pressure on him. But after what I saw last Sunday, is it completely wrong to think that he can credibly complete the slam? Will he complete the slam? Probably not. But after what y'all saw last Sunday and what I saw last Sunday, is it wrong of me to think that he can complete the slam? I'm not going to call for it yet. We will have to see what happens at the next major. We would have to see what happens. But after this comeback win, the only course Tiger may have trouble with is the Royal Portrush course that is hosting the British Open for the first time since 1951. 1951! I expect him to be prepared. But this is my raging question on this Friday, and this is the question of the – let's go ahead and call it the question of the day. Let's call it the question of the day. With one major in his back pocket, which is the Masters, can Tiger Woods this year complete the slam? Can he compete the Grand Slam and win all four? Be one hell of an accomplishment if he did. It would be an accomplishment of accomplishments if he did. That's Snowman's take. What's yours? Two more things to do. Then I'm getting out of here on this Good Friday. And hope y'all enjoying some good sports talk, as we're enjoying bringing it to you. Snowman in the Morning, talking NHL playoffs, paging Tampa Bay Lightning. Back in a flash. Thank you.
This is Snowman in the Morning, where true sports talk lives.
Hello, baby.
Oh, boy. This has been fun. Let's welcome all the folks at KSOS, the soul of Salem in Salem, Oregon, joining the fun today. And this is where you can catch us every Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. Eastern time. And I got two big announcements coming up here in a little bit, so stand by for those. Paging Tampa Bay Lightning. Anybody seen the Tampa Bay Lightning? And the rest of the NHL about the Lightning is saying,
ding dong, the witch is dead.
So the Lightning won 62 games, and they were the odds-on favorite to win the Stanley Cup. And the Columbus Blue Jackets said, yeah, you're believing in your own hype.
Excellent.
And they blasted him. They swept him in four games. Tampa Bay Lightning set all kinds of records this past season. And the Columbus Blue Jackets said,
ain't nobody got time for that.
Penguins, you know their pedigree. Met the New York Islanders in the first round. And the New York Islanders said,
ain't nobody got time for that.
Let's think for a minute. 62 wins in the regular season for the Tampa Bay Lightning. 62. They meet the Columbus Blue Jackets, who had not won a playoff series since their existence. Had not won a playoff series in their existence. Now, I'm going to play something that's unedited, but, you know, the Lightning have to be thinking, and it didn't happen. They didn't win a game. Stamkos and the bunch got skunked, including coming back in game four, tying it three apiece, and then allowing four unanswered goals. You know what Columbus said?
It's bacon!
And after the last goal was scored, you might as well have said this. Same with the Pittsburgh Penguins. Now, Vegas has to play another game against the Sharks because the Sharks won last night, but we're focusing on the Tampa Bay Lightning and the Pittsburgh Penguins. A lot of people thought I was crazy. I had a couple people ask me, do you think the Blue Jackets stand a chance? I said, I hope the Blue Jackets kick their ass. Know what they said to me?
Holy smokes, you'll need booze.
And I wasn't drinking. Now, to all those Lightning fans that doubted my words, I just look in when they knock on the door and I say, a lot of Lightning fans, when the series began, thought, probably couldn't hear that. Sorry. Now they're thinking,
ooh, I'm dying.
I'm just having fun with these sounds as we get ready to close. Every time the Blue Jackets scored, the house money grew. And they were thinking,
that's a spicy meatball.
Man, Ben Franklin couldn't save the Tampa Bay Lightning. Okay? Like I said, after game one, when the Blue Jackets stormed back, and I knew then they were going to win the series. The Blue Jackets stormed back from 3-0 down after Tampa Bay got three first-period goals. Three. The first 16 minutes of game one. Blue Jackets come all the way back, win the game 4-3, and the Lightning's thinking,
ooh, I'm dying.
And now it's over. The Blue Jackets have moved on. The Tampa Bay Lightning have been swept. The Pittsburgh Penguins have been swept.
Oh!
Yes, they have. The Penguins and the Lightning have both been swept.
No, 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 no!
Oh, yes. It's happened. Got swept.
No, 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 no! What?
Yeah. And Lightning fans should be thinking,
unacceptable! Unacceptable!
But instead they got, now when the phone calls come in for the summer for Tampa Bay, they all have to be thinking,
what is it, man?
Only two playoff games at Amalie Arena.
What the hell's going on out here?
As for the Blue Jackets and the New York Islanders, they're playing with house money.
You can't get more natural than that, man.
They're playing with nothing but house money. So if they get waxed in the second round, so be it. They eliminated two of the more popular teams and one of the most storied pedigree teams the Islanders eliminated. And all the Islanders said was, push the wrong button, I'm sorry. All the Islanders said was,
kill the bat.
And I got a question. How many of you fans out there, after the sweeps were completed, said, and forgive me for this one, how many of you Lightning fans said,
God damn!
Because I know it was said, oh, we're going to go to the Stanley Cup Finals.
Has anybody told you you have a serious impulse control problem?
And now they all have to be saying,
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
And all I'm saying is,
I think I just broke my chair.
And I'm going to leave it right there. Next week, all the stuff you needed to know about the NFL draft and who's going where, but we're afraid to ask. We're going to answer as Mike DeBate will join me next week to talk all things NFL draft. And speaking of Mike DeBate, I have an announcement to make. Goes like this. There are some plans in the works for not one, two stations, two networks, two new networks to syndicate Snowman in the Morning. Two. Which is going to be incredible in and of itself. One of them is Full Press Radio. We're working out the details of that. And the second I got an invite last night from, which is the Worldwide Sports Radio Network. And when I got those offers yesterday, I said, hell yeah. Been looking to branch this show out and really get it on the board here. So my thanks to Errol Marks, the man in charge of the Worldwide Sports Radio Network. We're going to be in negotiations, and my thanks to Mike DeBate and Ian Glendon from Full Press Radio. I cannot thank y'all enough, and I cannot thank the fans enough for just sticking with me. Christopher Davis, Michael Hogue, Eric Tannehill, a couple of my homies from Michigan City, Chris Ford, thank you all for tuning in this morning. And I'm going to leave y'all with a theme song that I've used often in my warm-ups. But considering the big games that are going on this weekend, I think it's appropriate. Anybody that remembers the NBA on CBS from 1983 will respect this. And I think that's how we're going to go out today. For my producer, Shane Lake, the big dog, my beloved Dr. K, the engineer, who turns all the dials and sets all the buttons, to all the fans that have tuned in, if you like what you heard, please consider becoming a patron. Go to patreon.com/SITmorning. We're going to do more. Check out our YouTube page. Search for the dark logo, Snowman in the Morning. That's our official YouTube page. We're going to be posting it all day. Shane's going to take care of that for me. And just go ahead and subscribe to the show and our flagship Arena Sports Net. And our new stations that are going to be picking us up, Full Press Radio, Full Press Coverage Radio, and as well as the Worldwide Sports Radio Network. That's where you're going to find us. Until Monday, have a great weekend. Happy Easter. God bless. Remember to make your next move your best move. And always remember, if your dreams don't scare you, then they are not big enough. Dream big, do bigger. Till Monday, when the crew gets back together, I say Snowman out, and I leave y'all with the NBA on CBS from 1983. So long, everybody.
Thank you.